Accelerated program.
Accelerated programming since 1937.
Welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show here on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. That's the NCRA stations across Canada and across British Columbia. My name is Kelly Rayburn. We're also on live on Facebook right now. We're just getting set up right now. Here he is now, Michael Cloggs. How are you today, Michael?
Good. Just reaching for
the headphones, yes. So
everything, so we can hear our guests
exactly,
and
adjust the volume and stuff. So
yeah.
So today, of course, we are a community living show. We are on a show called "On Disabilities and Special Needs" for everybody who's listening to us and maybe watching us. I don't think it's on right now, so that's my guess. We're supposed to be on Facebook, but
no, I think we're just going to record it this time.
Okay, you're just so, recording it.
Yeah, everything.
You got an almost set up, but you got it on photo. Just to let you know. All right. There we go. We're on video. All right, so.
We'll have to look.
Oh,
all right.
Now I screwed it up.
Uh oh.
Oh well.
Now you've done it, Kelly.
Sorry, Mike. All right. So we are on.
We're recording,
so it is on. We will be posting that on Facebook with all the audio and stuff. But Michael, tell us about our guests today.
Our guest is Lori Morningstar, and she is an emotional alchemist. And if I could, and she's been working with people for over 20 some years, helping them clear and heal from different types of emotional traumas. And I was recently at one of her workshops, and she does a really, really, really cool bit with meditation and things like that. So let me see if we can actually find a bit of her bio here. Let me see. This is actually from her website. About Lori and her own statement. I've been assisting clients and students around the world to awaken with compassion for self and others for over 20 years through the creation of Perfection Emotional Alchemy, a process created from neurolinguistic programming, timeline therapy, hypnosis, and various healing techniques. So with that big mouthful, is Lori there?
I am.
Hello, Lori.
How are you?
Community Living Show.
Thank you. I'm really good, and thank you for having me on here.
Yeah. So, why don't we just clear up some of this? What exactly is emotional alchemy?
It's the clearing of emotions all the way back to the root grid of it. And that means, like, in this lifetime, it's age 0 to 7, during birth, in the womb, 0 to 9 months, past lives, or genealogical. And I used to teach people how to go back and find, like, the root cause. I would ask a bunch of questions. And now I just, I don't do that anymore, because my goal is to clear the emotions and get them into the sacred heart. And when you're in your mind thinking about all these questions, then you're far away from the heart. So my goal is just to get them clearing the emotions and getting to be able to go into the sacred heart.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions, though. Is that all right?
Please.
So Why don't we get a bit about your story and how did you get to where you are? Where did all this start?
I began doing this work back in the 1990s when myself, I had a bit of an addiction problem, and because I was a tattoo artist back then, I didn't want everybody knowing that that I had that addiction. And so I found ways, and one of the flyers that came through, I had a tattoo shop, and then I had a spirit lodge or a healing center next door. Mm-hmm. And one of the flyers that came through, I usually just used to throw them in the garbage because nobody would come and see me, like, and give me the flyers. But this one was, like, from N.L. Palmer and Associates out of White Rock. And so I asked the only lady that would know who she was. I didn't even know she knew. And I asked her, and she said, "That's Noreen. Go and see her, and you'll really love her." And so I started working with Noreen. First, I took an Empowering Your Future, which is similar to the work that I do today, except I have my own twist on it. And, yeah, I took that, and then I took NLP, Timeline Therapy, Hypnosis, two levels of HUNA, assisted in the NLP, and then decided I needed to move on and got into other forms of healing and, you know, how to heal the physical body, the emotional, mental, spiritual. Yeah, started back then.
Yeah. Cool. So okay, so let's scroll back. You had a tattoo shop and an addiction. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So some of the work that you did you teach now, does that lead back to maybe the addiction was due to an emotional trauma from your childhood?
Oh, completely. I just didn't know how deep, but it's like in the last few years, well, probably over the last 10 years, it's been really getting unveiled, like what actually happened, right? And, you know, and it was out of my mom and dad's knowledge, right? So I'm going to save that little tidbit for my book. But, yeah, it came from my childhood, you know, and I think that's what a lot of people that have addictions, you know, it's like childhood trauma is huge, you know,
right.
And that people don't get help. So where do they go? They go to drugs, whether it's the psychiatric drugs. Like I did that for a little while. I did the Ativan, and I got off of them because I didn't like the way that they made me feel. Like I just wasn't in my body anymore. And so I went to other drugs, which probably took me out of my body even more, but at least I wasn't, like, not knowing what's going on. And so I just want to share with people that all those psychiatric drugs that people are taking for, like, mental illness or depression or anything like that, it's really, they're powerful stuff, and they're very debilitating, you know?
Yeah. So, There are a lot of different side effects to antidepressants and antipsychotics and things like that, and you know, it's some of those side effects actually mimic what you're taking the drug so you won't do. It's kind of weird. It's like, okay, so my illness is also one of the side effects. That's kind of weird.
Down, but, right? Which is what they're done anyways. They're shut down, right?
Yeah. I don't want to be a complete downer on them because I guess there's some people that they really do help. But it is kind of weird.
Yeah. I think the people that they help, I think if people really took the time and got some help, especially, you know, to clear the emotions, right? You know, when people are talking about it, then they're bringing more of that energy to them, you know, and a lot of times, like the way that I work, it's like I discovered that these emotions are actually, they have grids. Like I could actually see the green grid and I could see the black mist on it, right? And when people are doing heavy enough emotions or even these psychotic drugs or other drugs, that entities can come and stick on them and then cause them to do all sorts of psychotic stuff as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that people don't realize, right? But when you take that emotional grid out of there just by doing my process, then out comes that energy as well.
Okay. So So you had to deal with the childhood trauma, and what were some of the personal steps that you took for yourself? We don't have to talk about the trauma itself. I know you want to save that for your book because you're going to be published soon, right? Actually, yeah. I think I've seen the cover of your book. I think you showed it to me the last time I was at your house.
Yeah, the green grid, because that's what we are. You know, I learned back in the 90s that, you know, in the NLP, there's a book called The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot. And I really highly recommend people go read that, because then they'll understand that the reality that we're in is quite different than what you think, right? And when I saw the green grid, because I wanted to make this process my own, because Spirit was pushing me to write the book. And I'm like, well, I can't. I didn't really want to write about my life at the time, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to write about my process, because I had taken it from so many different places and made it my own, yet not completely my own. And so I was asking Spirit, like, what can I do to make this completely my own? Like, please show me. And, you know, within 6 months, they showed me the green grid with the black mist. And I was like, ah, there it is.
Yeah.
So some of the steps that I took was going to that lady's workshop and, you know, sweat lodge and Sundance and lots of healing modalities.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a second, because you're also, I remember you're Native and you were a Sundancer, is that right?
Yeah, well, kind of. I wasn't Native, but the spirits wanted me to go to Sundance, right? And when I did there, I went there first to, you know, as a supporter. And then Spirit wanted me to go in Sundance. So I got to see what it was all about. And then I went in, right? And I did that for 9 years. The year that I quit, I was the head Sundancer up in Vancouver Island. And I went and was a kind of like a helper over in Carberry, Manitoba. And then I quit, you know. I knew that was my last dance in Vancouver Island. And I knew it was my last dance out in Carberry, Manitoba. I never said nothing to anybody, but Spirit was telling me, like, I have another job to do. And that's what I'm doing today with Emotions and Ascension.
Right. So, and you, it sounds like you you had quite the journey to getting to where you are now with healing yourself and learning those steps so that you could heal others or help people heal themselves, we should say, right?
Well, yeah, that's exactly. And that's what I like about this workshop that I do. It's like, you know, I'm not here to be making somebody need me, right? I want to make people, when they go home, that they completely understand and are able to do it. You know, and I have a video on YouTube called EP002 Lori. And if you go and you check that out, that's my work. And I put that up there so people around the world could help themselves if they wanted to, you know, because it's really about making people the masters that they are. But it's work, you know. You have to dig into your emotions. And sometimes the surface emotions, like, there's so many that people have no idea how to dig in. And so when I teach people how to do it and how to become the hunter, then it's like, ah, they get it, you know. It's not just like, oh, what am I feeling right now? It's like, sit in that inquiry a little bit and take a pen and piece of paper and write it down. And when you think you have all the emotions, wait for a little bit, go back to the list, write some more down, dig, inquire more. Well, what is really going on? And then leave it again. And by the third time, you're getting to the root of the elephant in the room that's causing the problem in the first place. Mm-hmm. And this is the kind of inquire that people need to do, like, every day. It's an everyday process. And then when you've been doing it for 20-some years like me, I'm not digging in every day. But I do notice when I get triggered by something, it's like, oh, very good. And it doesn't matter. Like, people like to think, oh, you know, it's other people's stuff. They're projecting the stuff on me. I say, be a master. And if you're feeling some kind of emotion, and it's yours, because you have one of those grids that are on you that I saw coming to the people. It was like magnetic. They were eluding frustration and anger. So in come the grid with that kind of vibration on it. And it was going to sit down on them, but it was also going to sit down on me and this other guy there.
Right.
And then the other guy just whistled and away it went. And I was like, wow, there's a thing to whistling. Whistle while you work, right? It takes away all kind of like heaviness and you feel good.
Right.
There's something to that.
Well, if... I get It's one of those things that I hear people say back to me that, but reality is that I can recognize the emotion and not have that emotion myself, or not have it inside of me. I always think that it's like, if you can recognize the emotion, that means it's somewhere inside of you, that emotion exists.
Exactly. And why it exists, if they think they're not doing it in this lifetime, we're here for ascension. That means however many lifetimes, right, we're coming back and we're healing all lifetimes like this. That's why it's before, during, or after your birth, right? It's like every lifetime is coming up for release. And we're holographic, so if we clear anger and anger comes up again, doesn't mean it didn't work. It just means we took that layer of the onion off. And whatever it is outside there, even myself, like if I'm seeing something in somebody else and it triggers an emotion in me, like I have to know what's going on with people. I see it. The spirits tell me what the emotions are. But if I get triggered by something, then I'm definitely going to accept that and clear it for myself, because right, it's obviously in there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it, right? Mm-hmm. If it triggers you, then it's got to have some place for you, right?
Yeah, the grid is vibrating and it wants attention. And you know that person that activated that grid, like whether it's a person, place, or thing, I call those people and events and things the messengers. They come along to tell you that you have that emotion. Denying it is never going to get you anywhere. It won't get the healing done. Just accept it, whether you want to accept it or not, especially when it's strong emotions like hate or revenge or rage or something like that. It, you know, like that's a judgment. Oh, I can't have that. You know, I'm a better person than that. Well, it's like, who knows what you did in your past life that's now coming up, and all it wants is to be released back into the light so it can transform. So people, places, and events come along and push your button. I say, good job, right? Step away the emotion, and, you know, you walk back into it and notice that there's no more hint that you can actually talk to that other person and have a better conversation, because chances are they never even knew that they triggered you in the first place. It's your issue. Every time, your issue.
Right. It's my button. I should own it, right?
Yeah, and when you start clearing everything off, you'll start attracting much better situations to come to you. And if you attract a less than good one, well, good job, because it just shows you that you have something to clear.
Right.
That's all. Yeah.
And is it true that every time we clear off something, that it takes us one step closer to our what our enlightenment is supposed to be, right?
Exactly, because we are the light, right? That's all that we are. Because when we leave here, we're not taking anything human with us, except this time. But usually we die and off we go. So our light goes, right? And then we come back and we're unpacking it all. But really, if you clear all these emotions off, it's like a heavy blanket of all these energies, like that one that I saw coming in. You take that off all the way back to the root grid. That's a lot of heavy darkness. And that darkness, when it's landing on people's body, is causing sickness. Too many grids of that, people are like volcanoes. They go into depression. They create sickness in the body. I believe anything in the body can be healed by clearing your emotions. Anything.
It's kind of interesting, because you're not the first person to actually say that, something as simple as the cold to some very serious diseases, that if you deal with the emotional side of things, that how to put this, maybe it won't take it completely away, but at least it'll help you so that you can cope with what's going on with your body in a peaceful manner, right?
Yeah, well, I believe it can completely take it away as well, because it's just a sense of energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that it is.
Yeah. So, you help people get through all that.
Yeah, and it's easy. And once people have it, like, you know, you come here once and it's kind of like, oh, okay, I'm kind of getting that, right? I can they can go home, and some can really help themselves, especially for a long time, but then it comes and it's overwhelming again, and so back they come, whether it's a personal session or a workshop, and they get clear again, and now it's a bit better understanding. I wanted to go back to your colds and flus and stuff like that.
Okay, when let's get back to that in 1 second. Kelly's going to take us to a break.
So can you hold on for a moment, Laurie?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so hold that thought, and we'll come right back here on the Community Living Show. My name is Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael Berman-Cloggs. Our special guest is Laurie Motionstar, am I right?
Morningstar.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. The creator of Nero Lung
Alchemy.
The what?
Emotional alchemy.
Emotional alchemy.
Yes.
I'm just reading Michael's notes. That was the reason why. All right. We'll be back in a moment here on the NCRA stations.
And now a 3-minute segment with Michael Rubin-Cloggs.
And welcome back to 3 Minutes with Michael. I'm here again at the Co-op Radio Station. And today's topic is about focus on what you want. So many times we actually focus on what we don't want, especially when we talk about things like anti-bigotry, anti-racism. Whenever you put an anti in front of what you don't want, you're actually adding more focus to the item that you don't actually want. Instead of, say, anti-racism, say, pro-respect or pro-kindness to all, things like that. You want to make sure that what you're focusing on is what the end result that you want to have happen. By saying, I'm against something, you're actually putting more energy into what it is that you may actually be against, in which case you get more of what you don't want. It's something people really talk about about this is people who are really involved in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, because they will tell you how your language can predetermine what your result will be. How you say things and how you put words out there actually determine what your end result is going to be. So if you put words into effect that describe what it is that you want to see happen as a end result, you're more than likely to get that result too. When you put things into what it is that you don't want, then you're going to get more of what you don't want. It's counterintuitive to what most people might think. So if you're against bigotry, you're actually asking for more bigotry. If you say you're for respect, you get more respect. And there's other things along with this. If you think that you're being discriminated against, you might actually want to center yourself and fill yourself with more self-respect so that you don't experience the discrimination, which is disrespect. Fill yourself, fill your focus with the things that you want, and you will receive a bountiful of the things that you do want. So that's it for today. Focus on what you want. Remember, you can live a balanced life. Focus on it, and it will happen. Thank you, and bye for now.
The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of each year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting exclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and more. For more information, contact your local stations about the National Access Day.
Sounds good.
All right, okay. So we're on the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. My name is Kelly. Across from me is Michael. And we had to change our camera positions now. So we're here with Laurie Morningstar, Motionstar.
Morningstar, yes.
Yeah. I had to change that.
Yep. Okay. So we got it all fixed. Yep. Okay. And you were going to say something about the cold and the flu.
Yes. I just really want people to understand, because they get the cold and the flu and then they want to go get shots or medication. However, because I know we're in ascension, right? And what's happening is, like, we just went through a full moon lunar eclipse. We had a CME hit Earth directly, a huge one coming from the sun. And then we had Valentine's Day. There's a lot of energy that day, and also a very big tragedy that day. And then we had the 15th was a new moon solar eclipse. Mm. And all of these energies are activations for the planet so that the energy can come. And imagine all that energy coming as light. And so it comes down and it hits our bodies. And our bodies are pretty dense. You know, we're carbon-based, right? So it's dense and it needs to get that denseness out. And so it goes in and it causes flus and colds and stuff like that.
Mm. However, that's probably the reason why I got the sniffles right now.
Yeah, it's a lot of energy right now.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I know because around the 12th, I think it was when the CME hit, I was really nauseous and I didn't know until probably the 15th or 16th that it actually was a CME, big one directly at Earth, right? And I was a bit nauseous.
Yeah.
But all of this, the more you clear your emotions, the more that energy never affects you. It's like light and easy. I rarely get sick.
Yeah, you better define CME though.
Global mass ejection that comes from the sun. It's like a big sunburst.
Yeah.
Pushing towards Earth, right? You know, and if there's a coronal mass ejection and it goes, like, you know, off in different directions, we might still be affected by it because it is our sun, right?
Yeah.
However, this came right at the Earth.
Yeah, well, we're particles of the sun, basically, yeah. Right?
Parts of it all, parts of everything.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's kind of the point is, in some respects, let's just do it. We're kind of diving into the quantum of it all, and in a lot of respects, like the shooting that happened in Florida, that actually is still a part of us, because we're a part of them, of those that happened there, right?
Yeah, and you know, all of that, you know, like the Vegas shooting, all of that, mm-hmm. It's like a war on people's consciousness, right? There's like a huge, huge movement right now that I won't get into, but it's like, it's a part of the energy of the takedown of the darkness, right? And the darkness is acting out, you know, like they always say, oh, there's one shooter there, right? And it's really, there's two or three or more shooters, yet they want the public to think there's one, and then we need to take the guns away. And then you find out these people are on psychotic drugs, right? And then mind control is coming up right now. So you have to really, like, ask yourself, what really happened, instead of getting on that, the bandwagon and emotions. My heart goes out to all the kids there, all their families and that, but really, instead of just going on the agenda that the mainstream media puts out, what is really going on? And what's going on emotionally? When I went over to Malaysia one time, I was walking from my hotel to where I was sharing my work, right? And I was walking and I was thinking, you know, I'm looking around and I see a lot of poverty, you know, for me, right? You know, but these people are used to living in it. And I just thought, you know what? What is all this? I had a thought in my head. Well, if I'm the master, I'm creating all of this. So in my 20, 30 minute walk to the where I was going, right, I would just look and feel all the emotions that came up, and then I would clear them in myself, and I would clear them in the area around, not affecting any free will, because sometimes people want to keep their emotions and all that kind of energy, right? So every time I do healing for humanity, it's always to never interfere with the free will of the people. And then I was away for a month that time, visiting lots of people over there in Penang and, you know, KL and Hong Kong. And what I discovered was, you know, every area that I went into, we ended up doing clearing for each other and also for all the energy around that people are tapped into. Because it's like that grid. It's like a big cloud. Mm-hmm. So how is what are you feeling in yourself that you're doing that? Because like you said, we're all one. So right. Where's the darkness within ourselves that's creating that darkness out there? And what's the untruth within ourselves that's creating the untruth out there?
Right.
Yeah.
So So I guess the question is, how do we discover what that untruth might actually be, and how do we deal with it?
Well, the first thing that we have to do is look at our emotions, and that, to me, that's really all we need to do. The more that you look at your emotions and clear those emotions, the lighter and lighter and lighter that you're going to be, and then you're going to be able to shine the light out rather than, you know, react with all these emotions. People hear something and then all their energy gets drained. So if you look at us like if we were really in the hologram, like the Matrix says, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at it like we're only given so much electrons every day, or we only have so much energy every day. And so what are we doing with our energy? Are we hearing something and then reacting and then leaking our energy out in an emotional way? Or are we reacting by hearing that, holding our own, praying for those people, praying for humanity, and really watching to see what is the truth?
Excuse me.
You know, the more that we can hold our own energy, so me as a healer, I completely keep all my energy to myself. I do the best to never get emotional, and if I am, I automatically clear it. So, you know, big tragedy can happen, and I can hold my own and be helpful rather than get lost in the emotion of everything. And then I have all the energy to help people because I've saved my energy, and every day I'm given more energy. So every day my energy is going up and up and up, rather than if I was emotional and it's going out and out and out. And once you're emotional, feel how you feel. You feel drained by the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Where I don't. I feel like I'm like completely energized and balanced. And that's the secret to like being well in this, is like clearing your emotions and your limiting decisions. Like, what do you tell yourself? I can't, I'm not, I'll never, you know, it's always been this way, right? Whatever it is that we tell each other or tell ourselves.
Right. Well,
just like your don't. I was listening to your commercial there, and, you know, the unconscious mind never processes things like try, but, can't, don't, you know.
Right.
Don't think of.
Yeah, and that's the 3-minute segment that we do.
Yeah.
It, right in it, it's like the mind goes, oh, thinks of what it's going to do, so automatically you attract whatever it is that you don't want. So you're, like, right on the money there.
Yeah. It was kind of funny. I was at an event, and they were talking the Anti-Bigotry Coalition, and they were talking about, oh, well, we have security, and just in case these people show up, we want to make sure we're protected. And of course, I was there to film it, and I went to them to the panel, and I said, don't worry about anything. All we have to do is focus on, we're going to have a great event, and that everything is going to be calm. It's just going to be a discussion, and nothing will happen. We won't need security.
Yeah,
and the person who invited me to come out and film it, he says he does this all the time, and I don't know how he does it that he casts something over the entire room that it's always calm and peaceful when he's around.
Yeah,
and it's because I keep telling my that's what I want. That's what I want is peace. I don't want, you know, and that's what I focus on. So that's what appears, right?
Yeah, abracadabra. As you speak, you create, and we create even our thoughts, right?
Yeah, I love that word.
Abracadabra.
Abracadabra. Well, we're doing it all the time, right? So be careful with your thoughts. Be careful with your words.
Right.
I want to share something about the anti-whatever it is, right? When you're against something, it's like, you know, the energy comes in and it's against, right? It's like whatever's going on, you can't solve the problem at the same level that it was created, right? If you want to do something, right, instead of an anti-war protest, have a peace summit. You know, it's like always, what do you want instead of what you don't want? You know, even when people are putting their protests together, they really should think about stuff like that.
That's why we create create media that's about love and trust, right?
Yes.
the two things that will bring us peace is, hey, I love you, man. I trust you. Where's the hatred, right? It's gone. It's like somewhere else. It's not not in my focus. So, with your emotional alchemy, and some of the processes are really cool. They're very relaxing, and with your emotional alchemy, how does that work? So people actually find what it is that they want and start attracting what they want to them. They want love. So how do they start attracting it to them through your process?
They need to inquire within themselves what's preventing the love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are they telling themselves? What emotions are they doing? A lot of people do stuff like, I'm not worthy. I don't accept myself. I don't love myself. All those kinds of stuff, you know, emotions that, you know, we're doing, and we rarely consciously look at it because we're so busy projecting our emotions out on people. They made me feel this way, instead of being responsible, right? So if we start inquiring into self, like, what's going on? How am I feeling? What am I doing that, or thinking or saying, that is causing me to experience the opposite of what I really want?
Mm-hmm. So with the emotional clearing in the NLP and the hypnotherapy, in your workshops, you help people do that?
Well, I kind of took a little bit of everything. I'm an NLP teaching assistant. I'm a master practitioner of hypnosis, all from the 90s. And, you know, all I'm doing is I'm using my language, and also, like, when I'm talking to people and I'm doing the process, and then I say, trusting your unconscious mind to go back to blah, 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 and clean it all up, then the unconscious mind that does 2.3 million bits of information per second goes, oh, she's talking to me. What does she want me to do? And it goes and instantly does it, while the conscious mind is just busy with all the different tasks that I'm giving it, because it can only do 7 plus or minus 2 things at once, and sometimes not even that, right, when you're having a real bad day.
Right.
You know, it's like I don't do NLP processes. I don't do hypnosis processes. I do my own thing.
Right. But I kind of noticed that because I've been to 2 of your workshops as it is right now, and I noticed that it's there, but it's not there. You know what I mean? It's like, and one of the things that you have everybody do that I think is really cool, and explain why breathing is so important.
Breathing is so important because it's your life force, right? If people really look at what they're breathing, like anybody listening to this right now, like, just watch, how are you breathing? Chances are you're barely breathing enough to keep your body going. However, when you start breathing deeply, I'll just explain the breath, and then I'll explain the energy behind the breath. So what the breath is doing is like big breaths of 4 in and 8 out, right? And stretching the 8 out to an even breath on all the way out, right? It's a HUNA breath for water. So breathing in and then breathing out. So what it's doing is it's bringing more oxygen into your lungs. And then as you continue to breathe deeper, your lungs can get more stretched, like they're getting fuller and fuller and fuller. And you're able to exhale longer and longer and longer. And what you're doing is you're bringing all that oxygen into your oxygenate your body. But also the blood goes right into the lungs, right, and gets oxygenated, and then goes back out into the body. So your blood is getting oxygenated, your body's getting oxygenated, but your lymphatic or your diaphragm is pumping, being so big a breath like that, and that pumps your lymphatic system, which all the toxins, when you start releasing these emotions, you're going to release a lot of toxins, right? And all those toxins are going to go into your system. So if you're pumping your lymphatic system, it's going to carry all that away. Like I always tell people, go have a good salt bath afterwards because it's just going to clean everything out. And then on the other side of that is like I'm always telling people to breathe the prana in. A certain color, I want it to be blue because it's like higher vibrating color. And when you're breathing that blue in from Mother Earth and Father Sky, right, it's like bringing the love energy up from Mother Earth and down from Father Sky into the heart pranosphere, which is like a 12-inch diameter ball around your heart chakra. And that's where we create the Holy Trinity, the most power that you can have on this planet. So just by breathing in and breathing out, you're creating all this big connection between Mother Earth, Father Sky, and you, the divine child. So you're really energizing your body. The deeper you breathe, the better it is. And a lot of times in the, when I'm doing the work, I have to keep reminding people to breathe because what happens is they stop breathing and then they get lost in their mind. So I just gently bring them back into their body and start breathing again. And then I like to work with the sacred fire. So either I have a fire going or I have a candle going, and I get them to bring the energy of the sacred fire into the front of that heart chakra and then go out and mix with Mother Earth and Father Sky all the way out to the Leonardo sphere. And what you're doing with all of that as you move from the heart pranosphere out to the Leonardo sphere is you're sweeping through every cell, wavelet, and particle. And just in the mere breathing, you're like cleaning and cleansing all those cells. That's because I'm telling your unconscious mind to do that as you're doing the breathing. And then through the back of the heart chakra, I invite in the nature realms, which is kind of like that for me, I see it as rainbow light, right? So bringing that rainbow light into the heart pranosphere and then out into the Leonardo sphere and then back down into the heart pranosphere and back to Mother Earth, Father Sky, the sacred fire, and the nature realm. And when you're connected like that, that's a lot of power. That's a lot of energy that wants to help you to get well. You know, a lot of people have Reiki and other healing modalities. Mm-hmm. I do myself. I'm a teaching assistant for Reiki, have been since the 90s, right? I've had the second level of advanced symbology in Huna in the 90s as well. And I use that for clearing emotions. However, you know, we're masters in this human meat suit. And if we just breathe and connect with Mother Earth and Father Sky, sacred fire, you know, the nature right. realms, you want to connect with the air spirits, that water spirits, you know, we can do all of this just by imagining it. You know, and this is the biggest thing with the work that I do with clearing emotions.
Okay.
We've been
So we're going on another segment. So can you hold on for a moment?
I can.
Okay. You're tuned into the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. My name's Kelly, along with Michael. We're talking with Lori Morningstar. And again, we'll be back in a moment. The Community Living Show is stories for the people with disabilities, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and many other issues, along with accessibility issues. If you want to participate and are a member of the any of the NCRA radio stations, including this station that you're listening to in the area, or if you have any story idea and want to become involved in the technician personnel, please email us. Our email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. No experience necessary. People with disability or non-disability are welcome to the show.
Your cell phone already has an FM receiver chip installed in it, but major Canadian telecommunication and mobile companies have blocked access to this free system to listen to the radio in favor of charging for data streaming. With access to the FM chip, your phone can still receive broadcasts and updates during an emergency, even if the cell towers are down. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
Crimes and Treasons Radio, this is Riff Raff. Every Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. on 101.9 FM with Relly Rails and Jules Andre Brown.
This is the Community Living Show on the NCRA radio stations. My name's Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael Ribbon Clogs. And we're talking with Lori Morningstar. And go ahead. This is our final segment.
Last segment. So there's some other really cool things that did you do that I wanted to get into before we go. You, of course, you have your workshops, you do work with animals to help people again heal the those emotional traumas, right?
Yes, I work with the horses, so I'm just learning how to do that. And it's interesting because the more that I work with them, the more that I, you know, I've got so many connections from past lives. And horses are amazing because, you know, they have no judgment. They're just seeing everything as energy because they're prey animals, right? So they're not looking at a person and going, whoa, she's got a lot of stuff, right? It's like they'll come over and they'll do a little bit of work with you, cleaning off some of the energies, or they'll you know, walk around the round pen and show you like what is actually going on by going to certain areas in the round pen that they know that this is this means this and that means that, and they just mirror everything, you know, and they communicate. My teacher communicates quite well with them. I'm opening up to doing all that, you know, because I'm quite tuned into spirit, so tuning into the horses is like it's coming quickly, and it's fun.
Yeah. Well, horses are my love of horses is kind of interesting because I've the one time I did actually ride a horse, I got thrown. It didn't feel too good. But anyway, but like I have other friends that they actually have horse farms, and I've photographed them and I've climbed into the pens with them and all that, and they're like, no, don't climb in the pen with the horse. It's like he tends to get angry. It's like he doesn't seem angry now. It's maybe sometimes I wonder if maybe it is that the horse is trying to show them that, hey, you need to get rid of your anger. But I've had wonderful experiences with the horses, and they're so calm and peaceful.
Yeah. Well, they're prey animals, right? However, they're tuned into your energy, right? So if somebody's experiencing that, then perhaps, you know, it's like those people aren't, they're not calm. And then maybe, you know, like they don't realize, like when we go into horses' energy field, we have to respect their boundaries. Some horses, they don't want, you know, you in their field. They don't want to be touched, right? Whether it's a horse, a dog, a cat, whatever, right? However, humans are like, oh, I'm going to go do this and that, right? And it's like, and in reality, the same thing with the horse. If it comes into our field and we're feeling like a little bit hesitant, you know, we're allowed to make that boundary. And I told my friend that one time, some of the horses I was working with, she'd had horses for a long time. And this one horse, as soon as he knew that he was a sentient being and could do all this healing, he was helping the lady that owned him, right? But he was licking. His name was Mojo. He's a blanketed Appaloosa. And he was licking, but he was like licking way more than what she was able to handle, right? And I just said to her, I said, hey, I said, when we go into a horse's face that, you know, they're the ones that are going to make the boundary as to how far you come in. Well, this horse stopped licking, put his head back, nodded it up and down, and then went back to licking her, right? And then I said, but when they're coming into our space, like Mojo's doing to you right now, you've got the ability to make the boundary, and you can make it just by putting your hand up and saying no, right? And so he steps back, and he nods his head again, right? And he goes back in and continues licking her, right? And she's like uncomfortable, so she's like no and makes the boundary, and so he pulls back, but he's like, what's going on? Maybe I'll just test that boundary. And so he went back in, and it was too much for her. And I said, when you make the boundary, you have to make it and make it like it's a no, right? And then I learned afterwards, well, if he comes in there more gentle, then it's okay. I didn't know that at the time. And so he stops, and then he looks at me, and he wants to come, and my right shoulder was hurting. So he wanted to come and heal me, and I'm like, hey, Mojo, I really want your help, but right now we're, like, teaching boundaries, right? So, you know, maybe later, and I put the boundary up, and it was like he looked at me like, oh, well, okay, whatever, and off he goes, right?
Yeah.
So they know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, that was I was photographing a one horse, and I said to him, he's like, hey, we can have a lot of fun with this. It's like, I said, we have to be gentle with each other. It's like, no aggression. And he just got I'm not going to say he was aggressive. He got a little too huggy. And I said, yeah. No. And he came back again, and he got a little huggy again. I said, well, if you're going to keep doing this, I'm going to leave. And when I went to leave, he's like, no, I'm sorry. And he's like, tried to tug me back so that I couldn't leave, but because he didn't want me to go. So, but it was a lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, they're great.
Yeah. And that was the particular horse that they said, oh, he's angry.
He
wasn't very angry.
No, so. It's their energy and their interaction, their experience, right? You know, and that's all good. That's perfect, right? Whatever the horse is mirroring to them, right? That's that's what's fun.
Yeah. But so how do you use the horses? Like most of our listeners, they have some kind of they'll have either like a visible disability, or maybe if it's an invisible disability, it's like a chronic pain or chronic fatigue or something like that. How can you use the horse to help ease some of the discomfort or whatever they're going through?
Well, I'll give the example of how I ended up signing up for the horse course. The field program, my teacher, I've known her for quite a while, and I'd been praying for some help with my shoulder for like weeks, right? And I thought, well, I need a healer and I need a massage, right? And she comes for tea, then I go back down to her ranch that's close by me, and I'm visiting first the four male horses. And then we go over, and they help me. They're talking and grounding and clearing a bit, but nothing that I really understood at that time. And then we went over and visited the girls, right? And Maya, this painted horse, she comes right out of the undercover place, and she comes right over to me, stops at Brenda for a second, and then Brenda's like, oh, you want to help her, don't you? She comes over, and she starts massaging me with her lips, and then all over my back, and then she puts her muzzle on my back and kind of gives me a little push, and Brenda's like, she wants you to turn around, right? So I'm like, put my jacket up, my hood, and turned around because all my hair was getting caught in her mouth, and she just cleaned all of the energy off my back, off my heart chakra, off my arm, and by the time that I left the pasture, my arm was about 70% better, and within another 3 days, like 90% better.
Wow.
And so this... They just see it as energy, and they're cleaning. Or they'll mirror whatever it is that's going on with the person, right, until they understand it.
Right. So, yeah, that's that sounds like a really, really, really cool experience. I do want to make it clear to people that you're not talking about having people actually riding the horses. They're just in... around the horse, not on the horse.
Well, the horses are the teachers. We're partnering with the horses, but the horses are teachers in the thing. And all we're doing is we're interpreting what the horses are talking about, what's going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
they're sentient beings. They're like so intelligent. It's amazing.
Yeah. I've noticed that with horses that they. Mm-hmm. They know a lot more than we do at times.
Well, because they can see all the energy,
mm-hmm.
and it's just energy to them. They're not going for the story. I kind of feel like myself. I'm a horse because I'm just looking at and feeling and noticing the energy of my clients, and I never look at the story. If I'm working with the story with the person, I'll talk to them, and I'm cutting them off. Like, and I tell them in the beginning, I'm going to cut you off because I'm not interested in stories. Because once the story, I just dig into the emotions and the limiting decisions around something that they've said.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you start talking about the story, whatever emotion you're eliciting, in comes that grid with the black mist on it, and then you got to clean another one off. And so people like to talk story a lot, and I like to stay away from stories and only enough to dig in. Because whatever emotions that they're doing, they're going to do it throughout their family, their relationships, their social life, their work, everything that they do, they'll have the same experience. And if they're packing a lot of emotions and in their mind a lot of things will go wrong in their life. And it just seems like, you know, everywhere they turn, there's a problem. But the problem is not the life. The problem is what's going on in their mind. What's the emotion? What are they continuing to do?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to learn to change other patterns, of course.
Yeah.
So it looks like we're starting to run a little bit short on time here.
Yep.
So why don't you get us give the best way people can get a hold of you, like your website and all that stuff, and how they can work with you,
okay.
All that.
Okay. Well, they can reach me at MorningstarTransformations.com. I've got a workshop once a month, and in May, I'll have another one. I'm working with another lady. She's going to be teaching First Nations teachings. I'll be teaching emotional alchemy in that workshop. It's not up on my website right now. I also do personal sessions. I have 1 hour and 2 hour, but 2 hour is like 2 hours. If somebody comes to me the first time, I highly recommend 2 hours because we can dig right into whatever's going on. And yeah, I got my book launch coming up in June, so I'll be promoting my workshops and promoting all of everything that I do up until that book launch. And I've also got some other. I'm gonna put my workshop in video, so people around the world could then, you know, experience my work without having to travel here to Canada.
And so that's on YouTube, right?
Yeah, it's on EP002 is a good one. The languaging is a little bit different than what I use right now, but there's a good example on there. I'm clearing doubt, frustration, and anger. And just rewind the video and use whatever words that you want or whatever limiting decision that you come up with. And I'm setting up in the video, I'm setting up the room, so I'm calling in all of your ancestors, your helpers, and everything that you need to help yourself so that when you do release the emotions, that all those people or those spirits are there to help you to release that energy and take it away and transform it.
Okay, great. So it's been wonderful speaking with you today. And
thank you.
I look forward to, we still have to do that, the photo shoot with you and the horses and everything. So I'm looking forward to doing that with you. Okay.
Thank you. Can I just share one thing, Michael?
Yeah.
Okay.
The reasons that I do this emotional alchemy is so that I can activate people's bodies for ascension, and letting go of that emotion allows them to get into the sacred heart where they can activate their Merkaba. And the Merkaba is like a big energy field that you can program to protect yourself from the radiation, from the emotional EMS, the frequencies, from mm-hmm. just about anything. You can program that Merkaba to protect yourself. So I just wanted to slip that in there because I think that's important. It's the whole reason I do my work.
Mm. Very cool. Thank you for slipping that in there.
No problem.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Yep.
All right. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. There you go.
So that was pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, again, if you want to email us, please email us. The email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. We've got three stations that we'd have to do. One is on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. We broadcast Tuesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. Thursdays now, we're on CHLY. We are broadcast the same time, Thursdays from 1 to 2 p.m. And check them out on CHLY.ca. Third and foremost is Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. They broadcast Sundays from 10 to 11 a.m.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we're on the program exchange, NCRA program exchange. Go to previous.ncra.ca for the community radio program exchange. Thank you very much, Michael.
Yeah. Just so people know that... upcoming things is we're going to have some folks come in and talk to us about some of the things. If you're here in BC listening, you've probably heard about some of the changes they're going through with the how claims would be dealt with ICBC. And we're going to have an actual lawyer who works very closely with ICBC and helping people get their claims put through. We're going to have her come on in the next few weeks. And there is going to be a talk on March 1st with a group called Road BC, who's their lawyers and healthcare workers who are really trying to make sure that ICBC is doing what they're supposed to do to truly help people. So, yeah.
So check this out on that. Anyways, yeah.